to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and pleased to have back Dr. Carrie Donahue with us. Owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care, she provides holistic and alternative care, and her services include acupuncture, botanical medicine, and other wellness care, including nutritional recommendations. We're going to talk about some simple things you can do to help your pet at home. And we'll also look at allergies and flea and tick preventatives. What do you do at home to help your pets? Do you have a holistic pet care question? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Send us an email at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Carrie Donahue, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Well, for listeners who aren't familiar with you and with this whole area of holistic veterinarian, ism? I don't know how to end that with being a holistic veterinarian. Let's do it that way. How's that different from a traditional vet?
Oh, it's a good question. Holistic medicine kind of separates itself from conventional veterinary medicine in that the approach is a little bit different, as I really take into account the entire individual animal, not treating just seeing one disease and treating it the same way for every animal that I see, but taking into account not only the physical aspect of the animal, but also the environment, its lifestyle, the pet owner themselves, even the mental and emotional aspect. Those all kind of come into play when I'm doing an evaluation of an animal and kind of deciding how I want to treat it holistically. And then, that being said, when I am thinking about treatments or therapies for diseases or certain conditions, trying to treat as naturally as possible and really, kind of helping the animal to heal itself by boosting their immune system, helping different organ systems so that they might be able to naturally get over a condition themselves without going towards medication, antibiotics, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, those certainly have their place, and I use those often, but I try to treat as naturally as possible whenever I can.
Yeah. And you have a website. We should just mention that right off the bat, because there are people who are interested in learning more about your practice and about the whole area.
Right.
I'm sure would want to visit it.
Yes, the website is fullcirclepet.com.
Fullcirclepet.com.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what we could do at home to treat without having to see you or someone else, a veterinarian. Mm-hmm. What are some maladies that we might work with our pets at home before we go to the vet?
Boy, you know, one of the biggest things that I get a lot of calls about and I hear a lot about is soft stool or diarrhea for dogs and cats. It's a very, very common thing, and it can pop up for a number of different reasons. I think this time of year, as everything is starting to kind of thaw out, the snow is uncovering. So especially dogs going outside or getting into things, and that can cause some GI upset, and then, you can end up with some diarrhea. So a couple of different ways that you can treat that at home. I think it's always nice to go back to basics with the diet and do one of those, what they call a bland diet, for a couple of days. And the traditional bland diet is usually white rice and ground hamburger or ground turkey, and you just boil it all together, and then you can feed that to your pet. And I kind of go one step a little bit further and recommend doing ground turkey and sweet potato. 50-50, mix the two of those together, just kind of like boil them all together, and then feed that to your pet as a bland diet for a couple of days. Adding in probiotics to that mix can really help to kind of turn things around for a lot of pets in that state.
Probiotics now are, of course, many of us use probiotics. Mm-hmm. Do we just use the same probiotic that you might use for yourself?
If you are in a pinch and that's all that you have at home, or it's just probiotics that you might take or human probiotics, certainly fine to give those to dogs because they share enough of the same bacteria in their guts as humans do. So it's fine to add in a human probiotic. There are specific animal probiotics that are out there, and I typically recommend those if you are going to be doing that and feeding it to your pet every day, which is, is something that I do recommend across the board for all animals, is to get a probiotic supplement. If it's not every day, at least a couple of times per week.
Yeah. So, but if it's a couple of days, you're going to be feeding, and you've got your own probiotic there.
Go ahead and use it. Definitely.
Yeah. Are there other areas that we might think about in terms of home remedy?
Oh, boy. You know what? Yeah, we're really getting into the spring allergy season. Even over the last couple of weeks, I've been seeing a lot of itchy dogs.
Already?
I know.
It's cold out there.
That's what I wonder, too, is things are just starting to happen. Dogs are licking at their feet. They're getting red, watery eyes, and they're just getting itchy. Unfortunately, it just seems like it comes early and early. Every single year. So one thing that you can do at home if your animal is showing those red watery eyes is to do a simple sort of eye treatment using chamomile tea. And chamomile tea is something that a lot of people have at home. It's just kind of like one of those teas that you can use to relax at the end of the day. But it's also very, very helpful for soothing any sort of skin condition and any eye condition. So you can brew some chamomile tea, let it cool, and then you can use that liquid as kind of like an eye wash. You can even use the cooled tea bag as a compress to hold on the animal's eye, and that can be very, very soothing.
So it's soothing and it kind of washes the whatever's in there out?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, a couple of good ideas there. Let's hear from you as you listen in. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Carrie Donahue, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. David Slinger wondered what you thought of raw meat versus dry food diets for dogs. Which one do you think is better?
Well, that's a good question. And the whole pet food, everybody's thoughts about pet food is changing currently. And people are starting to really read the labels that are on a lot of dry foods, a lot of canned foods, and starting to question some of the ingredients. So my approach and my recommendation is for animals, pet owners, to feed as much fresh food as they possibly can to their pets, whether that is a raw food diet, a home cooked diet, or even adding in fruits and vegetables and, like the writer said, some raw meat or even cooked meat in with their regular food.
Okay.
So I think there is a great benefit in feeding fresh food. Now, that being said, moving to a completely raw meat diet,
you're losing something, aren't you?
You can run into a lot of problems because you might not be providing them with all of the vitamins and minerals that they need. So I really recommend talking to a veterinarian before you make a change to a drastic change like that from a dry food to a raw food or something like that.
Let's take a call from Marcia in Richmond, Illinois, I believe. Marcia, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 10-year-old mixed breed dog that has, like, within the month been diagnosed with an aggressive form of bone cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. It's kind of tricky. But anyway, we have decided after deliberation that the best way to go is to try to keep her pain-free. Which leads me to my question. The vet, we've had blood tests, we've got extensive testing and all that. But with our decision, he has given Ballerina, that's her name, mm-hmm. Three different pain medications. And I can't, he says, keep her comfortable, which is certainly my goal. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know, how can I tell that she's comfortable? She's limping around if she's not outwardly crying. You know, I'm wondering if hot or cold, like a heating pad would help her, a pain patch like we would wear on our back, or massage or anything. Like, could you just tell me about that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I am so sorry that you are going through this with your dog. And I'm glad that your dog has you and that you're asking some of these questions about alternatives too, because there are many alternatives to those traditional pain medications that you can add in that will help your dog feel more comfortable. And I guess probably a big sign that they might be feeling some discomfort or some pain, and it is well known that bone cancer can be very, very painful, is just kind of acting restless. They're not able to get comfortable. They might lay down, and then they're up again quickly, kind of pacing around, panting, really kind of not wanting to interact with you or not wanting to go on walks or things that they always really love to do. If they're not so interested in doing those things, that might be a sign that there is some pain that's not being treated. So, you know, one of the big things that I've really started to use recently and I like very much, especially for pain and cancer in general, is an oil called CBD oil. And this comes from the hemp plant. And it's a newer thing that's kind of on the market, and it's gaining a whole lot of popularity for people and for animals too. But I have found that it's so effective in controlling pain for animals in conjunction with the traditional medications that you might already be giving.
Okay.
Can you get it? Where is it available?
You can really get it over the counter, but I would caution pet owners that there are a lot of companies out there that are selling this CBD oil, and you can get it from a lot of places. I almost recommend going through a veterinarian that is familiar with certain companies. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. And that would go in her food?
Goes right in the food, yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds like it would maybe be good for her, too. I'm going to be going to the vet this afternoon with her, so I'll certainly ask him about that.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Excellent. Marcia, thank you.
Thank you so very much. Have a beautiful day.
You as
thank
well.
You.
Thank you. Well, we have other callers online here. The lines are pretty full, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Samantha in Arcadia next. Hi, Samantha.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show. Anyway, I have a cat that has hairballs, and I was just wondering what would be a natural alternative of something to give her, because she gets allergic to so many, you know, medications and so many things.
Yeah.
So I'll just take my answer off the air.
Thank All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. So, yeah, hairballs with cats, it's a very, very common issue. And a nice natural way that you can treat that is by adding a little bit of an oil in with their food. And I usually recommend even just starting with coconut oil. Mm-hmm. Coconut oil is very easy to give. A lot of animals will just kind of lick it right up. So for a cat, you could start out probably with about a half of a teaspoon of coconut oil mixed in with the food, or just given straight once a day, and see if that kind of helps the hairball pass. There is another product that I really like, and it is called Feline Furball Plus, and it's made by the company VetraScience, which VetraScience makes a lot of all-natural products that you can get over-the-counter. And they make the furball formulation contains some digestive enzymes that actually help to sort of digest that hairball so it can pass through the other end.
Yeah.
So that's a nice thing to add in as well.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Carrie Underwood, Carrie Donahue. You know, we were laughing about this before the show, and I said, you know, Every time I think about Kerry Donahue, I also think Carrie Underwood comes in my head. And one of these times, I'm just going to say it on the air without thinking.
There you go.
And so I did it. Hopefully, I can get rid of doing that anymore, Kerry Donahue. Oh, man. She owns and is founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works in out of Madison, an office on Monroe Street.
Yes.
In Madison. She's our guest today to answer your pet healthcare questions. Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our producer on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your pet's health today with Dr. Kerry Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Great to have her back. Thanks for listening in. And our lines are all filled. The number is 800-642-1234. Let's go back to the phones. Kathleen in Oregon, your turn now. Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a home red light therapy unit, and it was recommended to me by a veterinarian for a dog that I had a while ago, and it seemed to really help her with arthritis in her joints. And I'm just kind of wondering, I've recently actually used it on myself for a twisted ankle, and I found it really helped. So I'm wondering about the safe use and of those at home, and what other things other than maybe a twisted ankle or joint pain might they be used for?
So red light therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this. I absolutely love it. And actually, at my clinic on Monroe Street, I have a little display set up with a red light over a cat bed, and it's just kind of demonstrating how pet owners can use red light or infrared light therapy for their pets. I think it's wonderful. I think it's so nice because it helps with inflammation especially. So shining that red light or an infrared light on your pet, and you don't have to get very close, maybe a couple of inches away, where you shine that, that promotes blood flow to that area. And so when you improve blood flow, then that brings oxygen to the area, and then it can help with inflammation. And inflammation is the main issue in arthritis. So I think it's really, really helpful for arthritis, joint pain. I also use it for older animals, especially cats that have kidney disease.
Oh.
It's very soothing. It really, it's warming. It just makes them feel better. And it's nice, too, that the caller, you know, she experienced it herself, so she knows how it feels. So you can kind of extrapolate that, and you know how your pet is going to feel, too. It's very safe.
So you could have it on for, how long would you recommend having, you know, being under the light?
Oh, probably, you know, a couple of minutes at a time.
Okay.
So kind of having it on projected towards one area for 30 seconds and then moving to another area, and you can do it that way. Another way that I recommend doing it is getting just an infrared light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the light bulb. You can find them. They're used for reptiles, for like those basking lights, and put that into kind of like a gooseneck lamp.
Yeah.
And then shine that over a small pet bed so that your pet, and kind of turn it on and have it on for a couple of hours at a time, and then your pet can choose if they want to go under it or not. It is fascinating to see pets, you know, kind of like choosing their own therapy and how long they want to be under it and moving around and shifting themselves and then moving away. So yeah, I love using that.
And it's not going to be harmful long term as far as we know.
No, not at all. I've never seen any negative effects from using it.
There you go, Kathleen.
Can I follow up with a quick question?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The unit that I got originally came with some goggles. They wanted you to use these goggles. And, of course, if you have the light directly over your skin, you're really not looking at it.
Right.
So I was wondering about the safety for eye health with pets. What I've usually done is tent a light cloth over my hand just in case they turn around and look. So is there a safety issue there with the eye?
Well, yeah. I mean, you really just kind of want to use common sense, like what you said, just covering it up so they're not looking at it directly, because that would be an instance where, you know, it potentially has, yeah, maybe a negative effect. It might affect their vision for a short period of time. So always taking precautions like that is a good idea.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you so much for calling, Kathleen. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Rosemary in Poplar, Wisconsin. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi. I have a question for the doctor. We have a 10-year-old corgi, and recently we took her to the vet because we thought she had a UTI, and it was confirmed she didn't have it. And the doctor suggested that we maybe consider getting her fixed because she could get an infection in the uterus. Is there anything I can give her? Because she's pretty, you know, she's older and she's got a torn ACL. And so, I mean, I don't think I want to put her through that. But is there anything I can give her to maybe try and prevent that infection? Or is that the only choice to get her fixed?
Yeah, you know, I almost think getting her fixed, doing that surgery would be the best thing to do, because the older that female dogs get when they are intact and not spayed, the higher their chances of getting that infected uterus, which is called pyometra. And every time your dog goes through a heat cycle, they run that risk of getting pyometra. Bacteria can go up and get into the uterus, and that can be life-threatening. So I often say, if you know, if she's at that age, at 10 years old, as long as they do blood work ahead of the surgery, make sure that her liver and kidneys are okay to handle the surgery. It's a very routine and fast procedure. I would almost recommend getting that done for her so you don't have to worry about it going forward.
Oh, okay. And is there anything I can give her just to kind of, you know, before we have the surgery? Because we have to obviously look for this, for somebody to give her that surgery. We live way out in the rural areas.
Oh, okay. Now, are you thinking something that you can give to her to kind of help her get through the surgery a little bit easier?
Yeah.
Okay. There is a really nice, it's a homeopathic remedy, and it's one that I use for all of my surgical patients, and it's called Arnica. And a lot of people use Arnica just for muscle strains, sprains, any sort of musculoskeletal issue to help their bodies heal faster. And I use it for animals for that very reason. So you can actually start giving that the day before the surgery if you get it scheduled, and then continue for about a week after.
Okay, and that would be like the tincture then?
Well, the Arnica, the homeopathic, right, you don't want to give the herbal tincture.
Okay.
Arnica, the herbal tincture, is often too strong for animals, and that's why I like the homeopathic remedy, which often comes in small little pellets.
Okay.
And you just give a couple of those pellets, you tuck them right in the cheek, because they're supposed to get absorbed through the mucous membranes.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't have to go down the throat, just kind of tuck them into the cheek where they get absorbed into the mouth that way.
Okay, two pellets like a day or something.
Perfect. Yep, 2 to 3 pellets twice a day.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for calling. And let's move on to Tom in Kakana next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you?
When you were talking about dogs eating things they shouldn't be eating, took my dog for a walk this morning, and she stalled out and wouldn't come, and she was chewing on, actually it was a chicken breast. And we've got a dog disliker in our neighborhood, so I'm skeptical that it might have been poisoned. Is there any kind of preemptive something you can do to before she feels any effects of it?
Boy, when did that happen, did you say?
About 8:30 this morning, and I checked on her at about 10, and she seemed fine.
Okay.
And I was going to probably check on her in another half hour or so.
Okay. Are you close enough to get her into a veterinarian if you needed to quickly?
Yes.
Okay. You know, that might be the thing to do, especially if you are suspecting that that she might have eaten something toxic. Take her to a veterinarian. They could induce vomiting. And if it's been a couple of hours, that might be the thing to do at this point. You know, you can induce vomiting at home, but I would almost feel more comfortable just taking her into a vet.
Yeah.
That being said, if you're kind of thinking that she might be okay and it's just you know, she maybe ate something that she shouldn't have. There are a couple of things that you can do to kind of detoxify their system, and this is good for animals across the board. It's giving activated charcoal or bentonite clay. You could do one or the other, and though either of those substances, you can feed them to your pet, and they really help to detoxify the GI tract from anything that they might have gotten into and kind of helps them get over that.
And the activated charcoal, how do you go about getting something like that? Is it regular, everyday, like charcoal made from natural wood, or...
I typically recommend going, I mean, even a place like Walgreens or a drugstore has activated charcoal capsules. That's probably the thing to do. It's not, I mean, it can be very, very messy. So you want to get it in a capsule form, and then you can feed, depending on weight, probably about 2 to 3 capsules. You just want to make sure that your dog is not vomiting, because if they vomit up the activated charcoal, then it's going to be even more of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But that is something that you can do. You can get it over the counter.
There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Bill in Wausau next. Bill, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. We have a Sheltie, which is about a large black and white Sheltie, which is about 9 years and 4 months old. Last year, he had a melanoma in his mouth, and it was just a swollen thing in that black tissue that's on the side of their mouth, but it was growing, and we took him to our vet, who is a wonderful holistic vet outside of Merrill, and she was able to remove that completely, so he didn't need any chemo. But then earlier this year, he developed a lump on his neck, which we just watched, and it kept growing and growing. And I had him in a couple of times, and the diagnosis was that at that point it was bothering me more than it bothered him. And it got to the size of, maybe a handball or a racquetball. And then we agreed that we'd have it removed. And she showed me a picture of what was inside of it. It was kind of a bright yellow, spongy stuff.
Oh.
And she had that tested, and it turned out to be a non-malignant basal cell carcinoma.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't need any more, but I thought, what's causing this? Because she doesn't have an opinion about it, and, you know, what can we do to avoid it or prevent it in the future? Do you have any ideas?
That's something that's fairly common, I think. It turns up not maybe that large, but say little fatty lumps on dogs.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it just seems like it's coming up more and more. And the question, where is it coming? Why is it happening?
Yeah.
I think that cancer in general in animals is almost at epidemic proportions. So many animals end up having cancer, and we wonder why it's happening. Is it something in the environment that they're being exposed to? Is it something in the food? Is it, you know, you just don't know, and nobody really knows. So my approach, kind of the holistic approach to cancer and preventing cancer, is boosting the immune system, because the immune system is going to be the biggest defense against cancer cells growing and proliferating. So, and I will say just quickly, there are a number of different things that you can do to boost your pet's immune system, but probably one of the biggest things is taking a look at the food, going to as much of a fresh food diet as you can, so you eliminate a lot of the preservatives, a lot of the extra things that pets might not need that are in a lot of the foods. But specific immune system boosting itself, I really like medicinal mushrooms. Mushrooms have immune-boosting benefits. They have anti-cancer benefits. They're wonderful across the board. So that's one of my top recommendations for any animal that has cancer or is getting over cancer or just thinking about preventing cancer from coming in the first place. We can all benefit from mushrooms.
Where do you get it? Is there a pet grade of it, or do you feed them human mushrooms, or...
Well, Yeah, you know, there are a number of them. There's Reishi, there's Maitake, there's Lion's Mane, so many different ones that have, and they all have specific properties. So I usually recommend doing a supplement that has a number of different medicinal mushrooms in it. The one that I really like and use most often is by the company Host Defense, and it's called My Community. And My Community probably has about 12 to 15 different types of mushrooms in it. It's easy to feed for most medium-sized dogs. They get one capsule twice a day. You can just mix that right in with the food.
Hmm. All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. And on to Lee in Cudahy next. Hi, Lee.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a mixed breed. She's supposed to be a Yorkie poo, and she weighs 11 pounds. She's a rescue, and she's about 7 years old. We've had her for three. And she's got a rump under her right eye. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the vet, he prescribed Clavamox, mm-hmm. chewable, and also a half a capsule of Carpodin.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed, it started that I noticed it in February, but I hadn't taken her to the vet until March. And he said if it doesn't go down, it just went down just a wee bit because it's right under her eye.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to try laser surgery because he thinks trying to do regular surgery to get this lump out, it's like the size of a big marble, and she only weighs 11 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And her eye's consistently watering still.
Okay.
What do you think about laser surgery or...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's probably a good way to go for her. And those lumps that pop up around the eye are just so difficult because even if it's just a benign growth, it's not cancerous, they can start to push on the eye and then, you know, maybe like what you're seeing, it starts to water and it's bothering them. So I think it would be a good idea to think about getting it taken off. And as far as surgery goes, laser surgery is very nice because it really cuts down on the healing time, recovering from that surgery. And so I think it would be a good option.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Oh, okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. Under those circumstances, I would imagine around the eye, she would have to wear a collar or something.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
After.
Yeah, I know. Because, yeah, any sort of a scratch is going to kind of undo any surgery that's been done. So, yeah, we're in the cone collar,
okay.
Unfortunately.
Susan in Gills Rock. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. This is kind of a distasteful topic, but I have a year-old Boston Terrier who is a delight, except he does seem to have anal gland issues.
Mm.
And we put him on a powder called Glandex, mm-hmm. which seemed to work really well. He's also getting pumpkin in the morning and yogurt.
Okay.
And he is also on a probiotic. Mm. And it worked like a charm for a while, but lately he's been working at it again, usually at night right before we go to bed. And I'm wondering if it's related to the allergy season coming up.
It certainly could be. There's really a connection between animals that have allergies and anal gland issues in general.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And that being said, sometimes it can even be traced to not even an environmental allergy, but a food allergy or a food hypersensitivity. Can I ask what type of food you're feeding?
Well, I have another Boston who is allergic to meat.
Okay.
So we give him a fish-based food, and mm-hmm. because it's easier, I just give everybody the same one.
Yeah.
So he's on a, and of course I can't think of the brand name right now, but it's a dry food diet, mm-hmm. and then it's mixed with usually salmon.
Okay.
Canned salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these additives, and I do put a little rice in at night. It's actually a food lab.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Is it a canna by any chance?
No, it's...
I just wondered.
It's like simple... Simply Nutrition or something like that. It's a commercial food.
Okay.
Wait, I have it here. It's well, there's I have two. I like to mix them up a little bit. There's Nature's Recipe, and then there's Wellness.
Oh, okay. So, and both of those are really good foods, and it sounds like, you know, your hands are kind of tied as far as options go with feeding the both of them and just making it simple. So, but I'm glad to hear that they're on a high-quality food, so that's good. There is something, you know, but kind of getting back to the allergy issue, it might be worth trying to narrow that down a little bit, maybe feeding the Boston just one type of food for a month.
Okay.
And then switching to the other type of food and seeing if one is better than the other, especially if you're kind of going back and forth, just to try to narrow that down a bit.
Okay.
And, you know, another thing that you could, try adding in would be psyllium husk. So I don't know if psyllium husk is in anything that you're already doing, but psyllium husk, it's really high fiber. So that might be almost something extra that you can add in with everything else that you're doing that could really help with those anal glands and getting that, you know, fixed so it's not a chronic long-term issue.
And how do you spell psyllium?
Psyllium is actually spelled P-S-Y-L-L-I-U-M.
And is that something that would come in a powder or a capsule? Or
it comes as, well, you can get it either way, but typically you can just get it in bulk as a powder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, luckily he eats anything I put in front of him, so.
Okay, that's good. That helps.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. Well, what if it's the air, you know, if it's an allergy from...
If it's an environmental allergy. Oh, boy, then, you know, that's very, very difficult. And I did kind of want to talk a little bit about things that you can do naturally to help animals that are experiencing environmental allergies. And one of the things that I recommend, and this could be helpful for the last caller, it's a supplement called quercetin. And quercetin is called Nature's Benadryl. So it's kind of like an antihistamine, but it's totally natural. It's not a medication. So that might be something, especially...
How do you spell that?
Quercetin is Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. And that's something you can find really over-the-counter at most health food stores. It's a common human supplement, and you can just buy the human supplement and give it to your dog or your cat, for that matter. So quercetin helps to stop histamine release in the body, and kind of similar to what Benadryl does. I would say, though, if you have an animal that you know is allergic, especially in the spring or the fall, start giving it now, because it does have to become established in the body, so you have to give it for a while to actually see the full effects.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I wondered if you were going to mention acupuncture.
Acupuncture, yeah. You know, acupuncture is one of those things, and I use it so much for so many different issues, and I think acupuncture is always helpful for really anything, and that's why I love it so much, is you can use acupuncture for not even just one single issue, but many issues at a time in one treatment. And going into that whole Chinese medical perspective, it's really nice, especially when Western medicine or conventional medicine doesn't have an answer or can't give a diagnosis. Looking at it from a different way, looking at it from that Chinese medical point of view, and then treating imbalances in the body by putting these little needles at acupuncture points, helping to what we're supposed to be doing is kind of releasing and unblocking energy so that energy flows freely in the body. And the thought is that if energy is flowing freely, then an animal is healthy. If an animal is unhealthy, that means that there is a blockage of energy flow somewhere in the body. So, you know, thinking about any sort of illness, any sort of disease, that all of those can benefit from acupuncture because they're all seen as an imbalance.
Our guest today, Dr. Carrie Donahue. I'm Larry Mueller as we talk your pet's health here on the Ideas Network. taking a look at your pet's health today with Dr. Kerry Donahue. Dr. Kerry owns and is founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works out of Madison. Great to have her with us here on the Ideas Network. I know even though she works out of Madison, she gets clients come sometimes from a long ways away.
Oh, yes. Yes, which is wonderful. And I do a lot of phone consultations or email consultations, too, just because, you know, people are calling from all over the place, and I really want to do whatever I can to help. So, yeah, it's great.
Let's go back to the phones and to Tamara in Appleton next. Tamara, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My dog seems to have, sometimes she's like snores a little bit when she's sleeping, and then sometime during the day she'll wheeze a little bit, and then she'll be fine. She won't make any noise at all. I don't know if she has like a cold.
What kind of dog did you say you had?
It's a German Shepherd mix.
Mm.
Okay.
And how long has that been happening?
Well, I'd say probably on and off for a couple years. I, like, wondered if she had an allergy.
Mm-hmm.
But she's really starting to snore as she gets older.
Mm.
But then she'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, and that is kind of, I didn't mention this before, but that is a common thing that I do see during allergy season is the coughing. Is there's increased mucus and there's phlegm, and you just think about it, animals are going outside where there are all these pollens and the allergens, they're breathing this in, and so their respiratory tract can get inflamed. So that could be part of what's happening, certainly. And then kind of going back to, well, what can we do to help inflammation naturally? What can we do to help boost the immune system? And so there are a lot of things that you can do that way. That quercetin is nice. You could try that. You could try something like the medicinal mushrooms. But there is actually a supplement that I really like for respiratory tract issues specifically, and it is made by the company Animal Essentials. It's an herbal tincture, and it's called RespiCalm. So RespiCalm.
Oh.
So it's a different blend of herbals that really target the mucous membranes of the respiratory tract, help to decrease the mucus and decrease inflammation. So that might be something worth looking into to see, you know, you can give it. It's not going to have any negative side effects. It's only going to help if it's going to do something. And I would recommend starting with that.
Okay. So even though she's not coughing, she's not, like, throwing up phlegm or anything. She just will, like, breathe heavy and mm-hmm. then snore a little bit sometimes at night. But that's only, it's not a consistent thing.
Okay. And, you know, I kind of group all of those things together, kind of the coughing and all of that points to increased inflammation in the respiratory tract, if there is even just like that wheezing or the snoring. So I do think that RespiCalm might help. The other thing to do would be perhaps having her checked out at a veterinarian. They could take some x-rays and just make sure that there's nothing going on even further down, like in the lungs. Certain things can pop up as animals get older. So that might be a good thing to just rule in or out.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. And on to Elaine in Milwaukee next. Hi, Elaine. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I got through. I'm really enjoying this show. I just took a note on the RespiCalm because my cat Max has everything.
Oh.
I took him into the vets when I noticed that he was missing a lot of teeth.
Mm.
And the vet said, this doesn't look like gum issues. It looks like something that I guess is rather rare. His body is just like reabsorbing them.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that they would do surgery and clean up what they could and leave what they could and see how it goes, you know, over time. Well, when they did the blood work, they found he had early stage renal failure, very early. And so she put him on a special diet. And the problem is he hates the hills, and so they can't do the surgery on the teeth, which is fine by me. He doesn't seem to be bothered. But they put him on hills. He didn't like the hills wet.
Mm-hmm.
I tried him on high tor. He doesn't like the high tor wet. The crunchies are a little problematic for him. I found a Hartz Mountain supplement for cats 15 and over that has, like, extra things in it for kidney stuff. And I'm wondering what you'd recommend. I was kind of thinking dog food, and then if there's a way I can put the enzyme or whatever it is that cats don't produce back into the food that way.
Oh, I don't know if I go with dog food. There are things, nutrients and so forth in cat food that are quite different if memory serves.
Right, that's true. And even, you know, especially with kidney disease, you have to be so careful with protein levels.
Yes.
So I guess I would caution against that too. Finding a food that's made for cats that have kidney issues or, you know, exploring maybe different types of cat foods, but I probably wouldn't go to the dog food just because you worry about protein levels. So part of what I do is help to counsel pet owners on alternatives to prescription foods and prescription diets because, you know, It does happen where animals don't like the taste of it. Maybe they have an allergy to something that's in the prescription food, so they're not able to take it. Or maybe pet owners are just looking for different options. So that's something, I mean, that's kind of part of my practice. You can always call and I can help to kind of guide you through that. But just thinking offhand, there is a brand of cat food and... Oh, goodness. Now I can't remember it. I think it's...
We'll get it by, you know, there's a news break coming up in 5 minutes. And we can look into it further then.
That sounds good. I will have to think of it. It's not Dave's. It's the name of a... It's a man's name, and they make an over-the-counter, really high-quality, grain-free kidney diet for cats that a lot of cats like. So I will think of it.
Okay, so stay listening, Elaine, and thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And in the meantime, we'll go to Barbara in Milwaukee. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I'm calling about my two little Pomeranians that have been on a meat-based, gently cooked meat-based diet for about 5 years, and I have to change it because the source of financing for it is disappearing. Mm. And there's so many meat-based things out there, I don't know what to switch to. I have no clue. They were 5 pounds overweight. They lost the 5 pounds on this regimen that I've been giving them, and so I'm really nervous about switching.
Mm-hmm. So you are looking at switching to more of a conventional, like a kibble or a canned food?
Not a kibble necessarily. My older dog has a heart murmur, has bad teeth.
Mm.
I want to keep with some kind of a meat base. I'm not interested in cans because of the BPA. And I just know that there's a lot of different foods out there, like... There's Honest Kitchen, which is dehydrated, and I worry about that because adding water, and with my little guy on furosemide, I just don't know if it's a good idea to have a food that's mixed with water, that I have to mix with water. So I just don't know where to begin.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Honest Kitchen, and Honest Kitchen is a brand that I really like and I use a lot, and that is a dehydrated raw food. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you are correct in that you do have to rehydrate it. So it comes as almost a powder form, and you add water and you kind of make it into a stew. Yeah. But, you know, you can choose how much water you want to add to it. You can make it into almost like a thick paste sort of substance like, or you can make it into a really, really watery mix. So you do have control over how much water, and a lot of it too I kind of base on an animal's preference. So that might be an option. The other thing is a lot of those raw food companies also make frozen raw foods that you can buy pre-made that you just have to thaw out. And
right. I wasn't necessarily looking for raw, but
more of the freeze-dried or dehydrated?
Well, not necessarily. No, if raw is the only meat, I know there's something called Fresh Pet that's from the, you know, that I was giving them, but that's when they were overweight, and so I don't want to go to that. But Okay. You know, so you think the raw is okay for them then? I've never really given them raw.
Yeah, most animals do very, very well on raw food. You certainly want to make sure that it's coming from a company that you trust. And I will say, as far as the raw food companies go, there's one in Wisconsin that I really like, and it's called Stella and Chewy's. They make frozen and they make freeze-dried raw food. And their food goes through an extra pasteurization process, because you always hear about recalls with raw food, and you do want to be very, very careful about contamination. So that's why I like Stella and Chewy's. They have a couple of different options for feeding either the frozen or the freeze-dried, and they've even come out with a raw-coated kibble now. So they have a lot of different varieties to choose from.
I just got some samples of it. Okay, that's very helpful.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's see. We've got Mary, excuse me, on Facebook, who says she heard that garlic repels fleas when your pet consumes garlic. Is that true? What's the best way to do this, and what other options? And she doesn't say what pet, but...
Mm-hmm. Right, yes. Well, the good news is garlic is very, very safe. So I think it's a nice thing to add into kind of like an all-over holistic flea and tick repellent program for your pet. So dogs can get, an average-sized dog can actually get one clove of garlic per day. If you have a small dog, I would make that amount much smaller and just feed a small amount of garlic, or even doing it a couple of times per week. It certainly doesn't have to be every day, but garlic is safe. Onions are not safe. Onions can be toxic. So a lot of times garlic is kind of put in with onions, and it's just said that, you know, that it's not safe across the board. But garlic is fine, and you're right. It does work from the inside out to repel fleas and ticks.
Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She's going to be with us right up till 12:30. We'll take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your pet's health with Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. She works out of Madison, but I know she has clients from all over the state, actually, who come, and maybe out of the state as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I do, yes.
So she is here to answer your questions. She's had lots of great questions, and she's had some great answers, too, I think. And let's go back to Elaine, who had a kitty, I believe. And there was a food that you were going to recommend, and you knew it was a guy's name, but you couldn't remember it.
Luckily, I got that far, and then that triggered the remembrance of the item. And so the name of the food is Dave's. And Dave's makes high-quality, high-protein alternatives to prescription foods for cats that have kidney issues and cats that have recurrent urinary tract issues, whether it's urinary tract infections or crystals, things like that. So two items, and they're canned foods, and it's called Dave's Restricted Diet. The one made for cats with kidney disease, it's a restricted protein and phosphorus diet. So you can get that over the counter. Most specialty pet food stores carry it, and it's, you know, it would be a nice thing to try as an alternative to the prescription foods.
Let's go back to the phones then, and to Monique in Fitchburg. Monique, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a dog who has OCD, and we have tried so many anti-inflammatories. And I was wondering if there's an alternative to the prescription ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you for asking. It's a great question. And yes, there are many, many, many alternatives. So I use a variety of different ones, and kind of depending on the animal's response and how they tolerate them. But probably one of the top alternatives to anti-inflammatories that I use is an anti-inflammatory herbal. And the two top herbals are curcumin, which comes from turmeric, and Boswellia, which is also known as frankincense. Those are really powerful. They're all natural. They're not going to have any negative side effects as the body metabolizes them. So you can find a number of supplements that have Boswellia and curcumin in them. One that I really like, going back to that brand Animal Essentials, they make a whole array of herbal tinctures for pets, and they make one that's called, I think it's called Bos Curcuma. And so it's a tincture of Boswellia and curcumin, and it's really nice for pain relief in animals.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And there, you know, one more thing that I really like to do, it's a homeopathic remedy, and it is called Tea Relief. And Tea Relief is almost seen as the homeopathic alternative to the NSAIDs, like for dogs, use Rimadyl, Duramax, Medicam, the whole variety of those. So you can safely give that. Again, it's not going to have any negative side effects. And that's what I love about these.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks, Monique, for calling. And let's go to Carrie in Tomahawk next. Hi, Carrie.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm looking for recommendations for my cat. She's a 3-year-old female tabby cat.
Okay.
And strictly indoors. And so I have two questions. One is there anything or should she be taking anything for fleas and ticks or anything of that sort that might come in on my clothes or such? Another is we feed her nothing but dry cat food, Iams with hairball, and wondering if she needs a wet food, you know, a canned food, either being human fish or tuna or some sort, or canned food. She does drink about 3 ounces of water every day, too, so.
Okay. Boy, great questions. So the flea and tick question, you know, you might want to do something, a little bit of a preventative for your cat, just like you said, because ticks can come in on you, unfortunately. Fleas can too. And in the middle of summer, it's a big problem. So it might be worth exploring a flea and tick preventative for your cat. But I would stay away from the chemical pesticides ones that are out there. I think that might be a little bit too much for her. The natural flea and tick product that I like the most, that's safe for dogs and cats and humans, is one that's cedar oil based, and it's called Wonderside. The name of the company is Wonderside, and they make a variety of different cedar oil sprays. You can just get a small bottle, and it will probably last you the entire season, but you can spray it on yourself when you go outside to repel fleas, ticks, even mosquitoes from you, but you could also spritz down your cat maybe once a week and just kind of a light mist and comb it through just to make sure that there's nothing on there. And if there is, that cedar oil spray will kill anything that might be on her. So that's what I would say for that. And then as far as the food goes, yeah, I would try to incorporate some canned food. I think cats eating dry food, even if you do see them at the water dish, cats tend to not drink enough water to make up for the dryness of the food. So adding in canned food, even 50-50, doing maybe canned food once a day and then dry food the rest of the time, would be a good thing for her as she gets older.
There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. And turning next to Lee in Green Bay. Hi, Lee.
Yeah, hi. I have a 12-year-old male cat that's an indoors cat where cats belong. And he has a problem with hard stool. And I've given him laxatone on and off, but I don't know if that's good to do it all the time. And I was wondering if a probiotic such as yogurt, he likes to eat a little dish of yogurt every so often, would that help with his hard stool?
Absolutely. I would keep up with that yogurt. Yogurt is a really nice source of antibiotics. I would say doing full fat, no sugar added, just plain yogurt. Animals usually really like the taste of that by itself. So you can add that in every single day, probably about a teaspoon in with the food. So see if that makes a difference. And then I mentioned before, too, coconut oil for the hairballs, but it's also good for cats that are prone to constipation and just kind of some hard stool. A little bit of coconut oil, you can mix that in with the yogurt and, you know, kind of make your own little mix and add that in with the food.
There we go. Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Mary in Wausau, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thanks for the call. Great show, great doctor, a lot of good ideas. And now one about a large, hyperactive standard poodle who sprained or strained his leg and has been to the vet and was put on carprofen, takes it sometimes, but it doesn't really help that much because he's quiet when he's in the house, and when he gets outside, he likes to run and jump and go crazy, and then he's right back to, right back where he started limping.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Hard to deal with.
It is hard. I think probably the hardest thing about healing from an injury like that, that where it takes a long time for the tissues to actually heal, is keeping your animal from doing those things like running and jumping, because that's such a huge part of it. So I know that you're doing the best that you can, and as much as you can, limit the jumping and the running, because as long as that's happening, the tissues aren't going to heal fully. And it's hard to do, especially with a high-energy animal. You know, one thing that you might try on top of the carprofen, which is one of those NSAIDs or the anti-inflammatories, what I mentioned earlier, the herbal anti-inflammatories, that tea relief, the homeopathic remedy, but you might also look into doing that CBD oil. And the benefit of the CBD oil is it calms. So I use it a lot for anxiety, and that might even just take the edge off of your dog so they're not so, interested in running around. I'm not sure if it will help, but it certainly will help the healing process. Helps with any pain as well. So that might be something to look into.
And where do you get this CBD oil?
CBD oil, and, you know, I would really do your research. There is a company that I like, two companies that I typically order CBD oil from that I sell at my clinic. One of them is called Canna Pet, CANNA-PET, and they make capsules and they make an oil tincture that you can give to your pet, and most animals will take that very, very easily. They also make treats that have that CBD oil in it, which is even easier to give to pets. So Canna Pet is one. And the other company that I order from is called Waib, and it's W-A-A-Y-B, as in boy. They make the oil itself, but they also make a transdermal cream, which is wonderful when it's difficult to get anything into your pet. So you can take this cream and you rub it on their skin, usually on the inside of their ears, and it gets absorbed into the system that way.
Hmm. There we go.
And what about that light?
The red light?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's another thing you can certainly do. And you can order that infrared light. I typically go with the 50-watt infrared light. You can order it online and get that light bulb. And that's kind of just a nice, easy, and inexpensive way to get into kind of like this infrared light therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that was a lot of information you gave.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks so much for calling. Chris on Facebook asked if one dog can be allergic to another. One of her dogs has always had allergies, and then since she lost her second dog to cancer last month, dog one seems to have fewer allergy symptoms.
Oh, my gosh. That is something. I'm not sure. I wouldn't completely rule that out. I know that dogs can, on allergy tests that I have done, dogs can become allergic to certain types of dander, especially cat dander. I mean, that's the big one that I see. But it's possible.
I suppose if, I don't know,
yeah,
if
don't
one
know.
Dog ran around in different spots from another dog,
that
from the other
another,
dog.
Right, yes. That would make sense.
You know, like to jump here and there where the other one didn't and mm-hmm. then bring that into the house?
Yeah, yeah. That would be a reasonable explanation. I know, that one's got me. I'm not 100% on that.
Well, Susan in Middleton has something for you. Let's go there. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I have a cat who's an older gentleman. He's quite elderly. And he has chronic pancreatitis. He's done a bunch of stuff to help him out. I was just wondering if there's anything that you might suggest to kind of keep him from getting flares.
Do you know offhand what medications he's on right now?
Oh, yes. He's on 2.5 milligrams of prednisolone.
Okay.
He's on Serenia. He's on gabapentin for some pain issues. And then he's on some supplements because he also has IBD, so he gets a shot of B12.
Great.
And he gets a probiotic and a little Miralax and some Pepcid.
Wow.
A lot of love. Yeah, he gets a lot. Yeah, it's like a hospital.
Good for you.
He gets fluids every other day, too.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know what? Are you doing any digestive enzymes along with the probiotics?
No.
Oh, well, that would be a wonderful thing to add in. And actually, you can find a lot of supplements that are a probiotic plus a digestive enzyme. And I'm going to mention this company again, Animal Essentials. They make a great powdered supplement, and it's called Plant Enzymes and Probiotics. So those digestive enzymes, when you add that in, that really helps the pancreas to do its job, because the pancreas is the organ that should be putting out those digestive enzymes to help the body digest the food when it needs a little bit of extra help. And I think a lot of animals are in this situation where they do need that extra help, but especially one that has pancreatitis, the digestive enzymes would be a nice thing to add in.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much
for calling. You know, I want to go back to the raw food. You know, we've had more than one question about raw foods, and you had some comments about freeze-dried versus raw food versus other ways of giving it to your animals.
Right. Yes. And I think the big worry with raw food is potential bacterial contamination. And that's something that, you know, it doesn't always affect the animals so much, but, and I mean, it certainly can, but we also worry about humans getting things like salmonella, and humans can get really sick from that. So you do have to be very, very careful whenever you're working with raw food, raw meat, making sure that you're taking care to handle it properly, washing your hands, keeping it away from other things. And, you know, so that is kind of the messy part of dealing with raw food. And that's part of the reason why I really like the freeze-dried and the dehydrated foods, is you're not dealing with that raw meat so much, where you do have to add in your own water. But it just kind of takes a step away from handling the raw meat itself. So that's just a preference. I think, you know, you can do it correctly, you can do it easily, but you just have to be aware and take precautions.
Let's turn to Christian in Lake Mills next. Hi, Christian.
Hi. I have a question about my cat. She's 14 years old. She was diagnosed with hypothyroidism last summer. So she's been on methimazole, and they started her out on 2.5 milligrams twice a day, and she was doing okay after a month, but after a few months on it, it was working a little too good, and her TSH was basically down to nothing, and so now she's on 2.5 milligrams a day, and she has improved, but she's still pretty thin, and her hair coat is kind of dandruffy, and, you know, now I'm a little bit concerned, like, maybe she's not getting enough, and, but, you know, she can't go back to, you know, the higher dose. So I was wondering if there were any other ways that I could support her thyroid health?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question and a very, very common issue with cats. As they get older, it's common for them to become hyperthyroid. And there are some natural things that you can do to help support your pet's thyroid. The big one for cats is the herbal called lemon balm. And there's another one called bugleweed. And bugleweed and lemon balm, I often get a tincture where you can give that to your cat, and that helps to support thyroid health in cats, kind of away from the medication. I mean, the medication, you really can't get away with that, and I have not found a natural alternative to the medication. It's also, it's usually just given an herbal with the medication to help support them overall. So where I get that thyroid support tincture is from a company called Buck Mountain Botanicals. And they make this, it's called ThyroLite for cats. And that has the lemon balm and the bugleweed in it. So that might be something to look into to just kind of help mm-hmm. overall health.
Sure.
Okay, that... great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And on to Rod in Madison next. Rod, hi.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I got a question. We have three cats in our house, and we have one little girl who has a tendency of licking her fur and then pulling fur out. We thought maybe at first it was little fur balls, you know, sometimes they get those, and even though we comb them regularly, she seems to be the only one who does this, and she just pulls a clumps of fur out and leaves it all over the floor. Hmm. Is there anything that we might look for?
Hmm. Boy, so is she pulling her fur out to the point where she's actually got some bald patches?
No, there are no bald patches.
Okay,
and
okay.
She does it from all over. She just doesn't do it from one area.
Huh. You know, I often think when cats are doing something like that, even that over-grooming is pulling fur out, it could be the sign of a behavioral issue. And it could be anxiety. There could be, you know, a little bit of stress that she's experiencing. And for a lot of cats, that's how they deal with that stress, is they just over-groom themselves and they pull fur out. So, you know, I always think it's a good idea to take her to the vet, just get a physical exam done, get some blood work done, make sure there's not anything internally going on, dealing with that if there is. But if not, maybe thinking about doing some sort of anti-stress measures. There is a nice natural anti-stress preparation, and it's a flower essence, and it's called Rescue Remedy, and it's something that's very safe for all animals, for people across the board. And you just put a couple of drops in the water dish, or you can put a couple of drops just on your pet. It doesn't have to go in them, but you can kind of pet them with it. But that really helps to take the edge off, helps to calm them down. So that might be a starting point for her, just to see if it is, if that makes a difference, if it is related to anxiety.
Yeah, you know, it might be. There's three cats there.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. So
there could plausible. Well be that one of the other cats or both of them are from time to time giving her a little swat or jumping mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right, exactly. I know, and you don't always see it. It could be happening behind the scenes. You think everybody's getting along, but she, you know, might be internalizing something.
So. There you go. Thanks again for calling. Sandra emailed to say that her 4.5-year-old Cabochon has hip dysplasia. Do you recommend glucosamine for it?
Yeah, I think glucosamine and chondroitin is a good baseline supplement for any animal that has arthritis. The one that I really like, which combines glucosamine, chondroitin, as well as the herbs that we talked about, the boswellia and the turmeric, is one that's made by the company Standard Process, which is based here in Wisconsin, which is nice. But they make one called Glucosamine Synergy. And it's got glucosamine and it's got those herbs in it. So you kind of get all over support in one supplement, which is nice.
Well, on that note, we are out of time. Dr. Carey, thank you so much for being with us. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
I would love to. Thank you.
Dr. Carey Donahue is the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Office is in Madison on Monroe Street. She provides all kind of options for holistic and alternative care, including acupuncture and botanical medicines, vaccines, and other wellness care, including nutritional recommendations. So great to have her along. We'll have her back and talk with her again. Tomorrow we'll preview this year's Gourd Festival. Stay with us. Lots in store.